Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And good things are on the horizon because God is mightily moving by His Spirit. You know, it's good to, you know, when you go in the Lord's presence and listen to Him and hear Him out, you hear Him say things that's just a blessing. And I want more and more and more of the knowledge of God. It's enjoyable. It's a blessing. It's life. It's a blessing to fill your heart with the Word and be trained by the Holy Spirit. Some of my best memories is when the Lord would teach me something that I didn't know, or He'd bring something to me that was important, and I started seeing it. But this is the thing. The Word of God is so pure and easy to be entreated that it's like, how could you have the sensation of, why didn't I see this before? And you can't until God revealed it. But it's right there in plain sight. In other words, what I'm saying is, the Word of God can do a lot more than we give it credit for. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I mean, you read it, you see what's going on at face value, but there's a deeper understanding that comes along with it that makes other things possible and some things impossible. And I'll give you an example. He put two trees in the garden, the way of life, tree of life, and then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the way of death. And He said, freely eat. And then He said to the one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you eat off that tree, you should surely die. But the tree of life, you can freely eat off it. Now, what will man choose? It seems like from looking at it from a God's eye view, why won't the man just eat off the tree of life and not bother that other one over there? That seems simple enough. But the description, the tree it looked good for food, and now Eve believed that it's a tree that will give you knowledge and wisdom. But if God said you're going to die if you eat off that tree, why can't we just trust the one who made everything possible and told us what to do? Why couldn't we just go along with what God said without ever a shadow of doubt against it? And we don't know what'll happen, per se. We don't know what will happen, how it will be, what death will be like, because you don't have a reference for it, except for the bones you find. And I'm sure Adam found bones because the earth had been devastated and restored. He had a reference for death because God said, the day you eat off this tree, you should surely die. So He did have a reference for what death was. But it never happened to him or Eve. So, you know, in hindsight, see, we're looking at it in hindsight. Hey, that's not the tree to eat off of. Why would you eat off that tree? Well, it's just like nowadays. God tell people there are other things we shouldn't do. Like, you can't have somebody else's wife, or a woman can't have somebody else's husband. They're off limits. And it's good to have the ability to understand that things are off limit, and you don't need it. And you can, it's a good ability to have to be able to see something beautiful and say, nope, that's not for me. It's all right, because we're complete in Christ. And the tree of life helps us be aware of the fact to live and thrive in life and turn down every form of darkness. You know, sometimes the music, the songs that we like, it may have a good beat, good rhythm and everything, but the words are just pure evil. And some people they'll listen to the music and just sing the song just to have fun, but they're singing derogatory words that will bring them down. And it's a good thing to always be able to reject the darkness, because it's going to do something that you don't want done. But when it's up front and personal, and you're looking at it from a man's view and not God's view, then, you know, you unlock the safety mechanisms. But when you, if we can, the Word of God gives us the ability to see what God sees, so that we can protect our life and our predecessors, and with our heritage, our children, and those who look to us. But I didn't mean to say predecessors. That's the people that were before us. But they set the pace. And so if we don't receive the Word of God, we'll naturally do what our predecessors did. Now, that's both naturally and spiritually. Our natural parents, and also the people we look to grow, spiritual leaders, pastors and teachers. And guess what? No matter how good our predecessors were, we have to break through the darkness that they left behind. And is there darkness that a predecessor would leave behind? Is there something they didn't do or didn't understand or didn't walk in? The only way to know that is to fill your heart with the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. And he will always guide you beyond your predecessors. And remember, the way ministry works, whether we like it or not, people will do what you do. You know, those that don't study the Word, that will hear you and receive salvation, they'll at least do that. They're going to do what you're doing. And what you're doing is going to be their new normal. And but when we look to the Lord, and they parents, children need to see parents seeking the Lord and praying and walking in the love of God and talking about it. And people need to see pastors do the same thing. You know, I was riding in the truck with my pastor. He listens to the Word. He listens to the healing scriptures. He trains. That's good. And, you know, I listen to the Word. And I listen to things that's going to help me do better. And it's important to do these things. It's not good to ignore life, but embrace it. And the thing is, the Holy Spirit, He's always ready to share things at our pace. And I love when He does so. The things of God, they're too wonderful to ignore and let lie on the shelf. We, you know, in life you have to go forward, not backwards. But nevertheless, the Word gives us that God, the God's eye view. We see what God sees. We know what we hear and we receive the warnings of God. And we can grow and do better things. Now, the Lord is always getting to something better. He knows that our life is limited by time. And He can cause us to be fruitful in ways that's far beyond our intelligence. So our only hope to do so is stay connected to the head. And I've been talking about that for, you know, this week and last week. And I say that because our predecessors, as good as they were, they didn't think of every detail like God can. And the enemy is desperate, and he's trying to cause the world system to outrun us. In other words, he's trying to get them bolder and bolder in darkness. And create more seeds of doubt to overcome the light that have already been shed abroad. So it takes greater anointings and different godly methods to get people in the kingdom of God. You have to do things differently because people are different. It's kind of like if you go fishing and you know what the fish usually eat at this particular lake. Some lakes, they like minnows. Some lakes, they may like worms. Some times of the day, you can use both. And then there are different types of artificial bait. You know, you got the rattle traps. You got, you know, you got different sorts of lures. So, and different fishermen, they find out what will work better to catch bigger fish in certain lakes. All right, now let's look at time. People have been the enemy. He see what the church is doing, and he see the way that the growth that we've arrived to in God. So he does things to counter it. And he uses lies and lying wonders, anything he can find, disappointments, evil words, anything he can find to counter it in the masses of the people. He make them busy, get them in debt. So they got to work two jobs. They can't come to the tent meeting now. It's a lot of things going on. And then on TV, it's so much pollution. The pollution is, he tries to make it louder than the Word of God. Something that will dazzle people from day after day so that they won't ever turn the channel and look at the things of God. But God is raising up people. And some people's ministry is on social media, you know. Ministry is not limited to the four walls. But the four walls, the church, is a blessing, and we need it. We need to be together. We need to come together, and draw strength from one another, and share with one another. And it's churches are stronger when Christian people come together and form relationships, and talk, and commune with each other. And then, Sunday schools and Bible classes and all these things are very necessary. But sometimes people think, well, if that's the only way to do ministry. No, we take the word where we go, where the people are. They got to go to work. So we take the training we receive at church and take it to work. Now, on your job, they may, you know, you could be like a pastor. You can do what you see your pastor do. You can say what he said. You can talk about, start a conversation and talk about things, you know, when God opened the door. And now, you know, they say, well, we don't want you preaching the gospel at work. You know, they got policies, you know. You're not supposed to do that. When the job I had, they said that, but that you can't stop somebody from living the life. So I preach anyway. I live the life. And anytime I take a job, I don't tell them that I'm a preacher, and I don't even tell them I'm a Christian. I just live the life, and they tell me. And then in talking and conversing, they find out I'm a preacher. I like to see what people will do and how they think. And I've said this before, but I like to see what kind of people are around me. People put on a mask when there's a preacher. They act a certain way. They don't. I like for people to be whatever they are. And the only way people can grow, you got to be honest with God. You can't be dishonest with Him. So putting on a mask around the preacher is no good. And it don't bother me when I'm used to people being themselves and talking any kind of way and saying any old thing. That has nothing to do with my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's over there with them, you know. But the way you carry yourself and the way you handle problems in their sight and the way that you organize your life, that those are the things, the way you heal when things go wrong. These are the things that preaches a message to people. And that's something that the enemy can't stop. When we let our light shine, that trumps everything. When you live in the life of God, when you live the life and you live the light of God's word, no matter what they think, no matter what they've been taught, no matter how they've been trained, the life of God is so much better. And there are people who wouldn't get married. They have boyfriends and they sleep around and they shack up But they're always jealous of people that have a genuine marriage. And then they have children. And they go out as a family. In the, when they see them in the park, you can see it in their countenance that they are, they wish they had that and not the messed up life that they chose. And their boyfriend, you know, they don't even know where he is. Or their girlfriend, they don't know what party she's going to go to next. They don't know. They have too much uncertainty. They don't have God to protect them, and they don't trust him in the first place. So their life is more miserable. And you can see, people try to hide it. And you can't, sunglasses don't hide. I mean, you can't hide a hurt feeling in your heart or a desire to do better. You can't hide that. Either you're going to choose the life of God or you're not. But when you do, you have God to back you. And see, as Christians, when we have a deep problem, we have God to go to. And he loves us. Now, when we take time to learn of him, we are believing, like my pastor said, believing believers. I love that. You have to be a believing believer. When you are a believing believer, now you can get out of any mess that comes your way. And I know that. I've done it. Some things blow my mind. It just blows my mind. I said, Lord, now I'm in trouble. I said, what am I going to do now? Help me deal with this. I said, I don't know how to deal with this. And God loves for us to talk that way. Because now we're ready to learn. Sometimes as believers, we're not ready to learn. We can be so self-assured that if we don't know what to do, it can't be done. That's not true. I like when I run into a problem that I don't know how to handle. Then I just say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I say, teach me about this. And he always does. He never upbraided me. He always showed me what. He don't rebuke you for that. He tell you what to do. He show you. And he'll teach you at your pace. And it happens different ways. But I have joy knowing that I'm going to learn something. Also, you can't learn unless you're receptive. And Charles Capps used to talk about, he always taught on God. That was an assignment. See, if people follow God and do their assignment, they can do something. He taught people how to talk. He was our English teacher. He taught you how to speak faith and not doubt. He didn't just teach you how to speak faith. He taught you how to speak faith with confessions and not doubt in your heart. And not say things that's going to kill you. Your words, he always said, it won't happen just because you say it, but saying it is involved with working it, and that's true. So whenever I wanted to make a change, a lasting change, and I didn't know what I was doing, I said, I'm going to learn this. I had no clue about what to do, except the word of God that I already had read. But I didn't know how I could do it. I didn't know how some things were to be done. I didn't know the mechanics of it. And at different stages, I didn't know anybody that knew. And I said, I'm going to learn this. Now, why would I say I'm going to learn this and I don't know how to learn it? Because the Holy Spirit is right there with me full time. And it helped me to pay attention. I knew that the Lord would show me what to do or call somebody to say what I needed. And all of that happened. He would set things up so that I could see a visual and understand. Something I could grab a hold of, something I could see. And he used vision sometimes. He would show me things and show me what to do. You know, that was one time a friend of mine was upset with me, but I didn't fall out. I loved him. And then later on that day, I said, Lord, how do I kill temptation, for instance? He showed me a vision of when my buddy was mad at me, and I loved him anyway. He said, you handle it the same way. See, he taught me the women that was trying to tempt me. He taught me to love them. Now they're being used by the enemy to bother me, to get me off track. Don't get mad at them. Love them. They need Jesus too. In other words, love them. you can't love somebody and be tempted by them, or love somebody and lust after them. And I didn't want to be that way. That's not what I wanted, but I didn't know how to deal with it. And the Lord, that's he used a vision and a situation and showed me what to do. Now that started, that helped me come out of that problem fast. And I didn't just want to barely get along. I wanted to be, no matter what I saw, no matter what I what happened, I wanted to be unbothered by it. That's a good way to put it. And I wanted to be totally free from, I didn't want that to ever be a problem. Because I wanted to live the life of God. Now, I grew up in church. I saw everything. I saw all kind of people. And I saw people that were married and they did well. And they were strong in their marriage. They were mature. And that's what I wanted. And when I would watch TV and I see a man cheating on his wife, I get so upset I'd leave the room if other people were watching. Or either I'd turn the channel if I was watching it by myself. Even as a child, I didn't like that. But then as an adult, when women would try to tempt me, I didn't like that. And I didn't want, and sometimes I felt tempted and I didn't like it. But I didn't know how to deal with it. Now, I'm being candid because so many people go through this and nobody teaches about it. So I mentioned it. I don't really want to mention it as much as I do, but to get the point across, I have to when the Holy Spirit bring it up. And I felt like he just did. But nevertheless, everything in the dark world is conquerable. You just have to learn. You have to be a student and learn from the Lord. Simple as, if you can do that, you can win. If you can see, sometimes the Lord will show you, and sometimes pride, people get in pride and they want to be the one to figure it out. You can't do that all the time. Sometimes we're just not smart enough. In fact, if you try to fight Satan toe to toe, you're outclassed. He's smarter than you are. And he's not smarter than you'll ever be, but he had more time. And he's been tempting our predecessors from Adam up. So you're outclassed. The only way to outclass him is through Jesus Christ. Not to mention, this is a little aside, since so you'll understand something about your enemy. Before God made Lucifer, he made others. Because Lucifer was in a position, he had to conquer. There were five realms he was trying to conquer. Now think about it for a moment. There were five realms he was trying to conquer. Let it soak in. Five realms. He made five statements of conquest. And some of the people that fail are smarter than he is. Just like he's smarter than we are, there are demons, or not demons, but fallen angels that's smarter than him. They listened to him, and he became their Lord. But he's not, he's kind of like the owner's son in a company. You got people that have degrees, they've been to school, they're more educated. He was trained by his father, he probably got a degree of some sort. But sometimes people in companies have multiple degrees and more time at it. All right. The father turns the business over to the son. But there are people within the corporation that outclasses him. They're just not the owner. So when you're dealing with the darkness of this world, you have to be ready for anything. And some things, remember also, when it comes to the church, the Lord, Satan has a ruling that he got to go by. He has to fight us on our level. You know, people say that God won't put more on you than you can bear. Actually, what it's saying in that scripture is that he has to fight you on your level. So if he come to you with anything, you can handle it. If you'll choose the way of Christ, you can handle it. He can't come to you and outclass you in a way that you can't handle. He can't do that with the church. And that's one reason when Christianity spread, a lot of things that he would do in the dark, he can't do because Christians are there. Now, if you go to the indigenous tribes, they worship, they started off worshiping giants. And to appease the giant, they feed the giant, the children to the giant, or they give sacrifice. This is done all over the world. And the giants would demand worship when they got ran out of Canaan land. And the ones wherever they were, if there were people, they demanded worship. And you got people dressing up in these feathers, looking crazy, dancing, and you know, they're not worshiping the true and living God. They were hijacked. So when Christians come around, the most gross demonic activity, it diminishes when Christians come around, because we're surrounded by angels, and Satan can't tempt us, you know, greater than we can bear it. He has to fight us on our level, so it blesses the people that surround us. So when the Lord takes his people off earth, it's going to be a free fall. That's why the Lord told me, people that don't have the word in their heart, they're going to suffer the most. They're going to see all kind of things. Jesus said men's heart will fail because of what they see come up on the earth. They're going to see things they never saw before. Now, we can either receive the word of God and the wisdom of God, or we can reject it. But if we reject it and don't receive it, we're going to have unusual problems. But nevertheless, the enemy will try things, but those that will stay in Christ, they're going to have the word in them. And Daniel said it this way, and I love this. I love what Daniel said in chapter 11. They that do know the Lord, now these are in the most trying times. They that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. They're not going to bend, they're not going to break, they're not going to give in, they're not going to give out, and they're going to complete a mission. They're going to do something God told them to do. And then he said many would die to try them. So, only those that are sincere will make it. And no matter what generation they come out of, no matter what time period they come out of, no matter what dispensation they come out of, only the sincerest people actually make it. And people that are weak can still be sincere, but they got to be sincere. They got to love God truly. And they got to not just love God, they got to receive life and stick with it and reject the darkness. The Lord helps us to do these things. These are things worth doing. And if we follow through with what he's saying, we can learn whatever we need to learn. The kingdom of darkness, you can, it's not always like you think it is. You know, people think of Satan and they consider him to look like a monster. His countenance is like a monster. He's a monster, but he was very beautiful. And he can make himself look even more beautiful. You know, it's fantasy to think that he's ugly. But he's a liar. And he's a deceiver. And he deceived many angels because he was beautiful and wise. But he's not. There were angels that outclassed him, but they followed him and he became their Lord. So you don't want to go to hell and have to deal with this foolishness forever. I don't want Satan around me forever. When people say, well, you got the church ain't going through the tribulation. The church is in the tribulation. We had tribulation from the day Jesus left us here. That's why he gave us healing. That's why he bare our sicknesses, he bore our griefs, because we need it. That's why he gave us authority. We have unmerited tribulation. The tribulation we suffer don't come from God. It comes from the pushback of darkness. When you go to ministry, you go into battle. And you got to treat ministry like a battle. And you got to win it. There's no other way to do it. You got to receive life and reject darkness. You can't fight darkness with darkness. You can only fight darkness with light. And the Lord help us do all these wonderful things. And I thank God for that. So when people are listening to the Lord and learning and growing, the theme of this broadcast, I want people to know, no matter what's going on, God will help you win. And you will outclass the darkness. If you receive what the Holy Spirit has to say. And you can't just go on once you get a degree. Some preachers, they get a degree and they feel like they're ready to tackle the world. It don't work that way. The things we learn in seminary and in church, they're good for us. It's wholesome, it's right. But you have to fight what you're really fighting. You have to be ready for anything. And only the Lord can show you how to win. Only the Lord can show you how to conquer what you don't know how to conquer. And to help you be appropriate for the time that you're living in. I don't know another way to do it. And teachings are great and they're helpful. I like to learn everything I can, but there's no substitute for following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we'll close with that because I happen to be out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mighty to move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.